This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Power Weekend Breakfast, health and wellness.
Dr. Chick Slibaga is our maxillofacial and oral surgeon who's joining us on the line right now to give us some more insights about this type of cancer. You can also call in if this perhaps is something you've experienced in your family or in yourself, in your life. And perhaps you can share some of your insights there. 0861 987 000. Dr. Chick, welcome to Power Weekend Breakfast.
Good morning, Bavi. Thank you for having me, and good morning to your wonderful listeners.
Are you okay with me calling you Dr. Chicks, or must I call you Dr. Chidinyane? It's Heritage Day. Maybe we must go full Chidinyane all the way.
I think so. I think so, Bavi, because Chicks is a name that I got from the soccer field. So.
Oh, another layer to you as the doctor. All right, so let's get straight into the conversation. When we talk about, at the very fundamental level, what is cancer, doctor?
Okay. Basically, baby, cancer, if I can just put it in simple terms, is a disease that develops from the abnormal replications of our ordinary or native cells in the body. Because if you can remember, our body goes through a replication and exfoliation regularly and across all the layers, meaning your epithelium. So any cells that can basically go into what you call a mutation, meaning it changes its DNA, then that's how a cancer develops. So obviously there will be certain factors that can contribute to that a cell changing its mutation.
So oral cancer, I'm assuming, is in the mouth, but is it more? Is the mouth or the oral region more expansive than that?
Yes, you're right, Bobby. Basically, yes, the oral cancer, it means the mouth. Uh-huh. But if I can just break it down for your listeners.
Yes, please.
In 2016, before then, when we talked about the oral or cavity or the mouth, we meant from the lips all the way to the back, which is your pharyngeal area. So, but, you know, with the new development and changes of the diseases, we realize that we need to divide this oral cavity into two. We divided it, especially when it comes to cancer, specifically when it comes to cancer, not anything else, but specifically when it comes to cancer. Mm-hmm. So the oral pharyngeal side, it does basically the back of the mouth, meaning mm-hmm. the swallowing side, which is the pharynx, what most people know as the throat. They usually just call it a throat. Mm. And the oral cavity, we said, is going to include your cheeks, your tongue, your floor of the mouth, which is underneath the tongue. That's what we mean when it's your floor of the mouth, just underneath the tongue. And your teeth together with your lips. So that is basically what we call the oral cavity. So any cancer that can occur in between those two regions, then it might be regarded as the oral cancer or oropharyngeal cancer.
So when we're looking at symptoms, I suppose lumps, bumps, things that look irregular, maybe from a medical point of view, you can tell us about some of the signs and symptoms of oral cancer, doctor.
Yes, you're 100% right. Oh, wow, baby, I thought for one day you're a medical doctor.
It was always my dream. So I read a lot about these things. It was.
I think you can relive that dream. So yes, yeah, you're correct. Any source in the mouth, baby, that it's going to develop and it does not heal within or after 2 weeks with any treatment, with any form of treatment. It could be from the healthcare professional, or it just even from being a self-treatment. And the ulcer does not heal within or after 14 days, then that is give a very high suspicion of cancer. Other signs that you can, which are obvious to, or should be obvious to your listeners, Bobby, it includes any change of color in a mucosa, or what you call, people will call them cheeks. Mm. Our cheeks are almost pink in color. So if there is any change of color, black, white, or red mainly, then that also gives a very high suspicion of cancer. Other signs that maybe you might not see on an earlier stages, but there is some form of cancer developing. It includes bad breath, you know, easily bleeding gums, or pain when you swallow, or pain when you eat, but you cannot really see where this pain is coming from. That also it might be a sign of cancer developing that will require you to visit your healthcare professional as soon as possible.
It feels like there might be an overlap with other things like cold sores, or, you know, if you've got something happening in your throat from another infection. I'm saying this to ask, when do you know it is time to get screened for some sort of cancer, if those things regularly happen to you?
Yes. But that's why I'm saying it's very important that the time frame is very important.
Okay.
Listeners should know that any cold sore or any lump that does not heal within 14 days, you should visit a healthcare professional.
Understood.
To be screened for the oral cancer.
All right, so let's talk about risk factors.
Yes, baby. Any individual who is smoking, it's at 10 times at risk of developing oral cancer sometime in their lifetime. Being a male or a female, being a young or an adult, it does not have a time frame where it can occur. However, we tend to see it from the ages of, we used to see it from the ages of 50 and above. Unfortunately, these days, we are seeing it in a younger patients 30 and below. That is why
30 and below.
Yes. But usually the less than 30 years, those patients will have some form of a DNA makeover that is at risk of just developing a cancer. Either you find some of them are not smoking at all, of them never even smoke. However, they will develop a cancer at some stage. But when you do the history, you find that the parents, they were or they are somehow smokers or even a heavy smokers.
Sure. That's so very concerning,
patient,
hey?
Mm. Yes. Mm. And again, basically what you're saying is any individual who's using a tobacco product, if I can simplify that way, Bobby, any individual who's using a tobacco product could be smoking or non-smoking product. Smoking is the cigarettes, the hubbly-dubbly that you see in each and every bar or tavern or sport or any chill out where people are sitting. The hubbly-dubbly, people used to think that it does not have any effect. It does, people. It does. The literature and the research have shown that. And the non-tobaccos, it includes your snuffs or what you call the betel nuts. But this one is more common in Asia, especially the Indian. What they do, they'll take a tobacco product and they take a leaf, they crush it, and then they'll chew on it. Yes, in South Africa, we've seen that a type of a habit happening, and we've seen patients with oral squamous carcinoma coming from the betel nut habit.
So it's not about the smoke necessarily. It's about what's in the product. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah. Yes, no, correct, baby. Nicotine is highly, highly carcinogenic. The literature and research have shown for many, many years that nicotine is very highly carcinogenic. So with nicotine, then you are going to have. So basically, nicotine is going to be the initiator. Subsequent to that, you are going to have what we call the drivers. So when you combine the smoking together with alcohol abuse, together with the use of any other form of drugs, poor oral hygiene, not looking after your mouth, which is very common on the people who are smoking, they usually don't visit dentists. And also, And unfortunately, if to a certain extent, by you have a different DNA makeover from that of me, yes, then you might develop cancer before me. So those are basically the drivers of this cancer developing.
I mean, we've got to have a conversation at some point about the psychology of smokers. Why smokers smoke? Knowing all of this information, why smokers smoke? You know, we've got to have that conversation. And then like a real drive to assist smokers to stop smoking. There has to be, I don't know, more support, more information. I don't even know. What do you think, Doc?
Yes, definitely. Definitely, Bobby. And you see, that's why myself and Buchilo started this initiative, because we've seen these patients, we've seen the numbers going up. And I even told your counterpart this other time when I had a conversation with them, Katlego, to say, unfortunately, from the government side, what we did is that we just removed an advertisement of tobacco products. But we forgot to increase these initiatives of awareness and campaigns. I even challenged him. I asked him, even yourself, but I can challenge you. When have you ever seen a leaflet or any campaigns regarding the oral cancer or any form of awareness or campaign where we teach people of the dangers of smoking? It's just written on the package, but you don't see anywhere else. You can't meet anything of letting people of these or the dangers of smoking. So I think we need to go back to the drawing board, sit down and start coming up with this type of campaigns. And thank you very much for having us, so that at least it's a start, you know. I hope, I know you're very wonderful, so you have a very big listening. So I hope the message will go out and reach the majority of our people.
Well,
and then,
a big aim with this program is to make sure that we continue to have conversations that perhaps were initiated some time ago and, as you say, have just, lagged in some way. So I'm glad that we're doing this. Let's speak to Bonani in Tembisa. Hi, Bonani.
Good morning, Pabi. How are you?
Great. Welcome.
Yeah, I've got a question to the doctor. I want to know, what about the people who are taking snuff? Because I never heard him saying anything about snuff.
Good question. Snuffy. Is that harmful? Can that cause cancer? So it asks Bonani, doctor.
Yeah, thank you, Bonani, for that question. I did touch on it. Yes, snuff is part of what you call the non-smoking tobacco product. So snuff and cigarette, when you compare them in terms of causing or developing cancer, they're exactly the same. All those individuals, it's just that majority of the patients who use snuff, they use it through the nose, so they will develop what you call a nasopharyngeal cancer. So, and to a certain extent, there are those that they will put it in the mouth, what you call in between the cheeks, they'll stick the snuff in that area. That those patients will also develop a oral cancer, or can develop the oral cancer from the use of the snuff. It contains tobacco. I mean, it contains nicotine, and there is a tobacco in it. It's definitely going to start or develop the cancer.
Utsuba snuff, Bonani.
Yes, I do sometimes, because sometimes when I'm pasta, sometimes, but not every time.
I mean, that is the first thing I must tell you, Doctor and Bonani. That's the first thing that I thought. I thought of when you are in these processes of African culture, you know, these things are things that are done. So is there a way maybe to do it less, or is it literally you either do it or you don't do it, Doctor, to prevent the cancers?
Well, I mean, when it comes to such belief, it basically just goes the same with a habit, you see, because when you do it, we will try and encourage that if possible, if you're mainly doing it for the purpose of doing that cultural activity. And even the amount, maybe,
yes,
will ask
less,
you, please reduce, if possible. Please stop, or you can just, we don't have a problem if, you know, if you're just throwing it wherever that you're doing your thing.
Sure.
Throw it on the floor, use it in that way. But smoking it or using it regularly, then you're increasing your risk of developing cancer. We are not saying don't bring it along. Yes, take it to that cultural activity, but if possible, by all means, please do not use it or don't smoke it. Or even if you do, just do it mainly for the purpose of performing a ritual finish.
Bonani, I hope that answers your question, and I hope that gives you a little bit of medical insight. And I know that you'll use that in conjunction with ancestral insights and make some good decisions for yourself. Thank you very much for your call this morning.
All right. Thank you. Bye.
Now let's talk about treatment. We talk often about early detection and various cancers being such a lifesaver. So, you know, let's talk about screening and then what treatments are available.
The best treatment, Barry, it will be, first thing first, let's try to stop smoking.
Mm.
That will be the best treatment that you can ever do to yourself. So if it's not possible to stop smoking, which is, with you and I, we know, they all claim that it's not easy, and we believe them. We are not disputing that. Then let's try to reduce the number of the cigarettes that we smoke per day. You see, because when you reduce the per year history, there is a formula that we use to calculate, we call it a per year, that also indicates to us that this person, it's indeed at risk. So if you can just reduce your pack year history.
Are you saying pack year history?
It's just a formula that we use. It's the terminology that we use to basically to grade the how people smoke. So if it's above the pack year, it's 30, then we know this person is a heavy smoker, basically smoking about 15 cigarettes a day. So in a pack of 20, so in that day, that person is going to finish 15 cigarettes.
Yeah.
So,
Doc, we've actually run out of time, and we haven't got to the end as yet. I'm wondering, maybe we have a conversation at another stage about some of the treatments. And you know, as people have been calling in with their own kind of experiences, and maybe even the Pacquiao calculator and smoking cessation, maybe we lump that into a new conversation and we pick up next time.
No problem, Bobby. Thank you very much for having me, and I'm sorry for taking long.
No,
my questions.
No, this is perfect.
I was just trying to make it as easy as I can. Yeah, but okay, quickly, just the treatment, it includes the surgery. We basically saying it's a first line of treatment. If possible, if it detected early, you do the surgery. If not, or even though we did surgery, it can be followed by radiation and chemotherapy. Mm. So those are mainly the three treatment modalities that we use for the treatment of cancer in the oral cavity.
Dr. Chicks on the soccer pitch, but Dr. Chidinyane Lebaka with us today, maxillofacial and oral surgeon, talking about oral cancer. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Bavi, and thank you to your listeners.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.